Tired of the smell and air quality in your basement or crawl space? Don't despair. The newest Wave Moisture Control Unit will transform your basement or crawl space into a drier, healthier, more comfortable environment. The new Wave units incorporate smart technology, using wireless sensors upstairs and down, which monitor conditions and automatically adjust the ventilation rate for optimal performance. An app allows you to monitor and control your unit from anywhere. In the presence of carbon monoxide, an alert will be sent to the app and the unit will automatically ventilate at the highest rate. Get rid of moisture, radon, and gases from your basement and your whole house year-round with Wave. Wave units are maintenance-free and only cost pennies a day to run. Performance guaranteed. Dealer opportunities available. Call now, 888-717-WAVE, 888-717-WAVE, or visit dryhealthyhome.com, dryhealthyhome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Your Hidden Power Show is on the air. I'm Doug Steffen. Do you understand the concept? Maybe if you're new to listening to our get-together here, this is aimed at understanding what's going on in the world that you don't understand. That's kind of the way it is. You all have hidden power. Maybe that's plural. You all have hidden powers. Some of them are spiritual. Some of them may be emotional, physical, mental, but... The hour that we have together each week to look at these things with people like our guest this week, Jay Kumar, has a fabulous brain and has been studying brains, not only his, but the brains of all of us. And he's got a lot of information to participate, well, for us to participate in listening to him, for him to share with us. And then later in the hour, a visit from Uri Geller. I want to talk with him about certain types of motivation. He's a motivator. And so we talk about motivating ourselves and getting ourselves moved up, if you will. Mary O'Malley, who is a psychic, a psychic healer, I think is probably the best way of describing her. And then our astrologer, Maria Trilogy, focusing on things that are of harmony, interest in harmony. So let's get to the science of having a happy brain, the way to create a life of longevity, prosperity, and resilience, according to the person who's become the student of the brain and therefore the doctor of the brain, Dr. Jay Kumar, no stranger to me. It's been quite a while, though, since you and I have had a chat, but certainly I think you've done a lot more working in your university courses that are focused on the brain and how to live a good life. And it is all about what's in your brain, isn't it?
Yes, Doug, it really is. And firstly, thank you so much for having me back on the air again. It's really great to hear your voice and to be part of your listening audience.
Yeah, it is. It's nice to have you back again as well. You certainly did a lot of good stuff with me and for me. The things that we're all looking for, people thirst during our lives. We want to make our life longer and healthier and happier. And as a friend, you'd think it would be easy.
You think it would be easy, Doug.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I'd like to start off by just sharing with you is that, you know, I have, since we've, like, I think, well, it's connected since the past few years, I've really gone deeper into what I call the underpinnings and the mystery of human behavior, looking how our brain works. And it really, I think, you know, since we last spoke, I've been teaching one of the most popular courses at my Chapman University where I teach, the happiness course. Who doesn't want to experience greater happiness in his or her own life? And of course, you know, we strive for this, but, you know, one thing that the first thing I say to my students on the very first day of the semester, which I'm going to share with all you and your listeners, is that it's not the promise of happiness, it's the practice of happiness.
Promise versus practice. So that's what you get into, how to actually put it into practice. Why do you suppose it comes so hard to us, Jay?
You know, I'll say this, and this I look at this from the perspective of how the human brain evolved. I'll say that the human brain, our brain, your brain, every person's brain on this planet, has evolved to hijack happiness. And that may sound like a really odd thing to say, because happiness is so intrinsic. It's such a universal goal that we all try to strive for. But I'd love to maybe just share with you from my own personal, you know, experience about this, and then maybe share with your listeners and you what I call the four hijacks of happiness and how you can maybe turn those around.
Yeah, so, please. I think we'll do this with an eye or an ear or a focus on how many people are not happy, thus the number of suicides in our society, that sort of thing, which has to be a, you know, it's got to be a focus of your work, because so many people are unhappy.
It is. You know, I call, we are the greatest, we are dying more from what we call, what I call the diseases of despair. That is the greatest health crisis of our generation. More people die from what I call diseases of despair. So that's depression, suicide, anxiety, loneliness, and all those things. And I'll share with you a personal story how I got on this path. It's in my upcoming book, The Science of a Happy Brain. I actually had a suicide in my family when I was really young, in my early 20s, that really affected my personal, you know, essence and my being, my wellness, my quality of life. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I've really become what I call more than just an advocate to prevent suicide, which is part of what I do. I realize I've become more an advocate for promoting happiness and looking to see. I had a really difficult journey to discover what happiness is after this the suicide in my family that took place. And since then, I've been trying to advance and look to see, how is it and why is it that we as a society are so maybe financially prosperous or have all these you know, niceties and comforts, if you will, but we are deeply suffering on the inside. And as you just rightly said, the recent suicides that of noted celebrities in the past couple weeks have really, I think, revealed a dark side of our society. And that more of us, unfortunately, are suffering silently from what I call these diseases of despair. And so the book that I'm that's coming out this fall, The Science of a Happy Brain, looks to see what are the hijacks of happiness that we create in our society or in our own life, and how can we use the science of the brain, how can we use this rich reservoir of research coming out in brain science to help create strategies in your own life to promote happiness. And one thing that we're finding in all the research that I'm doing and advancing is that there tend to be what I call four forms of happiness, which I'm happy to talk about a little bit later on, what I call biological happiness, psychological happiness, social happiness, and spiritual happiness. And each of those forms of happiness need to be practiced and cultivated in our life in order for us to achieve that well-being, longevity, and resilience that so many of us aim for.
All right. Let's pause for a moment. We'll get to this. Dr. Jay Kumar is with us. His current book is Brain, Body, and Being. You can get his free happiness strategy guide by going to the website for the Applied Brain Scientific Research Institute, ABSRI.com, ABSRI.com, and his new book, The Science of a Happy Brain. Certainly we can all learn well from exposure to those ideas. The four forms of happiness coming up here. Here's one way to be happy. Lose the weight. You've been working at this since the beginning of the year, right? Every year in January, after a wonderful holiday season of eating at Thanksgiving and going to Christmas parties and Christmas itself and then New Year's, you get a little bloated and maybe you want to lose a few pounds. I saw the story of somebody who lost 35 pounds with Calitrin. Calitrin is spelled C-A-L-O-T-R-E-N. There are a lot of people who confuse it with its main ingredient, collagen. Collagen, Calitrin. Calitrin is what you want to remember. It's the best way, the healthiest choice for weight loss. You don't go on some fad diet. You don't go trying to exercise, although being on a diet and exercising is very important and smart. You got to eat the right things. You got to put the right things in your body to maintain it. And that's why collagen comes in, because it's the number one protein in your body. And when you get to about 30, you start losing it. As you get older, you have less. So you got to add it to your system to push out the fat cells that are coming in, making way for muscle. That's what you need, muscle. Muscle, muscle, muscle. And the calitrin thing, there's so many great, if you go to their website, which is toploss.com, you'll see the helpful tips and information that people, when you start seeing loss and how this happens under calitrin, the assisting, this has to be, again, a joint effort, lots of different things together. But because you're building with protein, the muscle, it makes it easier to push out the fat. And that's really the philosophy. This is not a fad thing. These people did the research over the past 20, 30 years. They know how to promote healthy, lean muscle and weight loss together. That's why it works. I'm on it. I like it. I've seen positive results in about a month. Toploss.com is the website. Go to toploss.com. If you put DJV in the box, check that box off for promotion. You'll get 10% off the first three bottles, and then you get a fourth bottle free. That's it. Check the box for DJV at toploss.com or call an order at 833-TOPLOSS. Best way to do it, though, is probably online. You can get a lot of answers to questions when you do the research. Do a little reading and understand what calitrin is. toploss.com. Dr. Jay Kumar is here with us on Your Hidden Power. He's a gentleman who's been studying the brain. He understands Eastern religion, Western religion. I think it's interesting how religion plays a role in happiness with some people, does it not?
Oh, I would absolutely agree with you on that. And as someone who also has a strong connection to my inner power, my true potential or faith, whatever term we want to use, and, you know, that's actually one of the forms of happiness, which we can talk about, which is spiritual happiness. Mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier before the break that there are these four, what I am advancing, what I call the four expressions of happiness that all of us have to cultivate. So spiritual happiness is one of those, along with biological, psychological, and social. So
we're not talking about religion necessarily,
not
though.
Necessarily.
And I don't put words in your mouth, but that's that spiritual does not necessarily mean organized commercial industrial religion.
I think that's quite correct. So spiritual can mean meditation. It could be walking in nature. It can mean finding that space, that place of inner tranquility and calm, or finding your true potential or purpose and meaning in life. All those things I would, you know, define as that spiritual form of happiness that we all need to cultivate on a daily basis in our life.
Yeah, I think that's really what people are searching for is something, and they may try to find it through religion. I oftentimes joke, or not joke, but I quip on the air on my farm when I'm out on my tractor mowing hay or doing something that will allow me to, for a moment or two, look at the sky, look at my environment, look at what I'm doing, and be so thankful. I think part of spirituality is giving thanks. That's my read. Do you agree?
I 100% agree. I think, you know, this is actually my current book, Brain, Body, and Being, Five Secrets for Achieving Authentic Health and Happiness. I actually have a whole chapter on gratitude. Mm-hmm. And looking at the science behind gratitude, what it does to your brain and how it impacts, influences your longevity. So gratitude, waking up every morning, if there's one thing you can do, which you might call spiritual happiness, is waking up every morning and just being grateful for one aspect of your life that you take for granted. It could be
right.
Your health, it could be your family, it could be your contribution in the world, your work, whatever that is, your loved ones. But one thing in your life when you wake up every morning saying, I'm so grateful to be alive today because I have this in my life.
Yep. Think about that. Some people call it the attitude of gratitude. However you want to express it, it's there for the taking, if you will, for the offing. I can remember the old song. As a matter of fact, I think I may have at one point in time been corny enough to sing, that's what happiness is, when you and I were talking about this in a previous incarnation or a life or whenever it was that we were talking about it, because we all strive, and I sought you out to help me with my happiness. I just and I'm very open, as you know, Jay, with whatever goes on in my life. I think hopefully it helps people to identify their own stuff. As a matter of fact, I encourage people to help themselves with their brain and their mind as well as their body. Psychology, if you will, psychiatry, the things that make you better are understanding what's going on in the world, what's understanding what's going on with you, And thus, these four forms of happiness that I want to get to as time allows. We talked about spiritual. Let's delve into the other three if we can.
Absolutely, Doug. So the first one we'll talk about is called biological happiness. So I call these, these forms of happiness, biological, psychological, social, and spiritual, are associated with what I call the four C's. So the first biological happiness is associated with comfort. So creature comforts in our life, having the right food, eating the right foods, getting proper sleep, nutrition, diet, exercise, but also, as you just mentioned, taking comfort in knowing that you are loved and you are part of people who care about you, especially when in times of trouble, as you just mentioned, we often, our society, have this narrative that we have to tough it up and kind of, you know, suck it up, that kind of attitude, which I think is really harmful in our world. So taking comfort, not just in good food and good nutrition and sleep, but taking comfort in the solace of other people in times of crisis. So biological happiness is comfort. The second is psychological happiness, which I equate to contribution, the other C, contribution. Knowing that what you're doing in the world makes a difference, that you wake up every morning saying, I'm so happy to be to contribute into the world, to my family, and to make a difference. That is so important. So doing something, you know, it's fine to, you know, want to have money or status or fame or income, but if you're doing it solely for the purpose of accumulating wealth or money and not doing it because your passion is into it, you're really not going to find true happiness in your life. So psychological happiness is contribution. The third, social happiness, and that's one we kind of don't really think about so much. Social happiness is connection. So I want to share, if there's one thing you and your listeners can take away, the one thing we've discovered so profoundly about the human brain, your brain, my brain, and the brain of every single human being fundamentally evolved as a social organ. Now, that might sound really strange. Your brain evolved as a social organ. But one thing that we're finding, especially in the research that I do, is that without the ability for humans to find that sense of connection, we would have not made it. We wouldn't have survived. So I say to socialize is to survive. That's the primary function of that social happiness, is seeking connection. And so I think we're living in an age of disconnection right now, whether it's through social media or whether it's through aspects of our culture that fuel this disconnection. But it goes back to something you profoundly just mentioned, Doug, is that we need to actually reach out to others in times of strife, in times of difficulty.
Yep.
And the last, spiritual connection, which we just mentioned earlier, spiritual connection, or that's sort of spiritual happiness, which is compassion. Mm-hmm. So the four C's, biological happiness, comfort, psychological happiness, contribution, social happiness, connection, spiritual happiness, compassion. And all of this will be coming out in my upcoming book, The Science of Happy Brain. And you can go to my website, my company's website, absri.com, and download your free happiness strategy guide. And that's available to everyone who, all your listeners and anyone who's listening to this podcast.
Super deal. All right. Thank you, Jay. Jay Kumar. And lots of good information, The Science of a Happy Brain, on your hidden power.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule.
I went to have my blood test done a few weeks ago, and I met the doctor, and he was really encouraged by my progress, and I showed him what I was taking, and he started looking at all the ingredients, and he said, I'm really impressed with the shiitake mushroom. And he said, this stuff, it could clean out your arteries. And I'm like, oh, wow. He said, you may be onto something here. And he said, you just keep that up, and maybe you can start cutting back on your medication. And he says, you're helping your health by doing that. And I'm like, whoa, endorsement by the doctor.
When you call, use discount code DJV, and we'll take 35% off your first month's order and ship it to you free. Call 800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code DJV.
Time for the continuation of a focus on you, your hidden powers. You have five senses. We'd like to help you develop the sixth, or maybe there are more than that, with a motivational series. Uri Geller is here from his home in Israel, perhaps the premier motivator in the world, in my estimation anyway. He's got a career, a long and successful career, helping people understand what it is they can do to make their life better. And that's really, we use that sixth sense. You take hold of it and you get somewhere. I thought we ought to talk a minute about intimacy.
Listen, you just blew my mind, because you said intimacy, and my granddaughter Romy is giving me a huge hug now. So this is incredible. You must have felt that energy.
I feel you and I have a very strong bond and connection. So we feel, you don't really know where it comes from, where the words come from, where the ideas come from, but they're just kind of there. It's how the brain works. I was just talking with a gentleman who's an expert in how the brain works, the science, if you will, of the mind. And I, at the end of the conversation, I was thinking, well, how does this affect those of us who are either good at being intimate or maybe not so good at being intimate? Because intimacy isn't just about sexual connection and the love connection. Intimacy is about truth and trust in things, not hurting somebody. Because I think oftentimes that when you actually express your true feelings about stuff, things, it hurts people. And, to be authentic, you have to express yourself. I guess it's the way you do it as much as anything else, though, do you think?
Exactly. And, Doug, you know, this is why a person does not forget their first love, mm-hmm. the first kiss. I mean, even if you're 70 years old, 80 years old, you will remember that lady or that man who first hugged you or kissed you, that first intimacy. But, you know, coming from Sigmund Freud's family, if you didn't know, some of the listeners might not know this, but I'm related to Sigmund Freud, the great psychoanalyst, the psychologist, the psychiatrist. I believe that intimacy comes already is formed in the womb, because the latest research shows that babies can actually feel the love that the mother gives them in the womb. And somehow it integrates. It's being absorbed into their chromosome system, into their DNA. And that's a fantastic build-up when you're born, if your parents are good while they were pregnant. And as time goes by, and if your mother hugs you and gives you a kiss, if your father hugs you, this is something that will follow you for the rest of your life, also within your relationships, if that's what you meant about intimacy.
Yes, it is.
Intimacy is about trust. It's about love. It's about passion. It's about, you know, the universe and beyond. It's about infinity. It's about energy. And if you've got that energetic bond with your partner, then you already have a spiritual thread that ties you together. And that's life. I think you understand what I'm saying. And by the way, it's also to do with animals. You can mm-hmm. love an animal. I mean, I remember when we both cried when we had to put our dogs down.
Yeah.
People fall in love with their pets, whether they're cats, dogs, parrots. So even unconditional intimacy and unconditional love.
One of the things, it's interesting that you say that. I have a new dog. I think I told you that I got a new dog about a month ago. And she's very much like Charlotte, who was my bulldog that I have for 15 years. It is another English bulldog. This dog was rescued from a puppy mill. And so she has never been anything other than a pawn, been used by people. And she's a real love bug. But, you know, every once in a while, I forget about this, kind of like with children and adults. They need to have their boundaries set. And so I left out some food, and I was thinking, oh, she's a good girl, and she's not going to do this. And I had to hurry to come back and be on the air. And then So I go back downstairs, and she's gotten into the food, and it annoyed me. And I'm trying to discipline her as to not to do that sort of thing. But she's a dog, and it was there. And so now I'm thinking to myself, well, why am I upset? Because she did what dogs do. What's my motivation in being angry at her and wanting to discipline her when she just did what dogs do?
And you know, Doug, right now, tens of thousands of people identify exactly with what you say, because love is a power, and we all experience love at one stage in our lives. There's no such thing as life without love, without loving someone. Right. And it's a great topic that we can talk and talk about for ages and beyond. And you know, Doug, I also am a huge believer that energy, the soul and our spirit, is embedded with that love. So even when we die, we go up to another dimension and we meet our loved ones, whether they're men, women, children, dogs, animals, etc. So, this is why people say love is the most powerful energy in the universe. And I think you'll all agree with me, Doug, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we'll think about that. Uri Geller's website. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, Natalie is next to me now, my daughter, and she's pregnant. And
oh, is she?
The love. Yeah.
Oh, congratulations. Baby number two. Grandson, granddaughter number two.
Another girl on the way.
Send your love to all
of them. Sending love to everyone out there. Stay positive.
Yeah, and see, you've learned from your father well. Good for you. Congratulations. I didn't know that. All right, so that's the whole story. Intimacy, be responsible, think about it. It's something on your mind. It's on all of our minds because we can't really live well without it. Uri Geller's website is at URIGELLER.com, UriGeller.com. Your Hidden Power at YourHiddenPowerShow.com. Joining us now is our psychic scout, Mary O'Malley. Mary has a gift. Mary has a number of gifts, and she helps you with your gifts, because the whole assumption here, if you understand the premise behind Your Hidden Power, is that you have gifts too. You may not have tapped into them as much as you might be able to. Thus, with the help of people like Mary, we sort of unlock I hope we're unlocking the code here. You heard me talking with Uri, perhaps, Mary, about intimacy. Most of what you do has to do with the joys, the pains, the truth about love, doesn't it? When people come to you, more often than not, it's how to fix or take care of your business when it comes to love. And sometimes people give their power over to their partner. Isn't that a big problem?
It is. It is. What can I do to make them happy? You know, I get a lot of questions like that. It's a tough one. You know, spirit is always just be yourself.
I understand, themselves, you aren't good enough,
you know?
Right. Well, so is that the mark of a bad relationship, or is it just a mark of understanding that you have to do more work? And does it have to be a two-way street? If one person's trying to find, you know, the answers are always inside of you. That you've taught me, that the answers are inside. They're not outside. You can't go out there and look for it. You got to understand what's going on with you. And oftentimes that's not what happens, is it?
Right, right. And we're kind of conditioned to look outside of us instead of inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
So it does make it kind of tough. That's a hard question to answer. You know, every relationship is different. Sometimes it's one person giving more, but then it turns around and the other person gives more, as long as there's some sort of balance in caring for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the big thing, is to care for each other, and that there's some balance in that.
Yeah.
So everybody feels cared for, you know?
Mm-hmm. And to the circumstances, practicing what you preach, or practicing it, it's hearing the words. That's an art and a skill in itself. But then taking the words and putting them to practice. People come and listen to you for an hour, or they talk with you for an hour or more, or whatever it is, the sessions that you have, and they talk about their issues. Do people just want to be spoon-fed, or do they really practice what they're learning? How do you know, I suppose, is once they leave you, you don't know whether they, I suppose if they come back to you, then
right. Say,
well, Mary, right. This didn't work. What's my problem?
You know, it's different, and the message from spirit is different for each person, but it's, you know, a lot of times just flat out what I hear from spirit is, if someone was treating your best friend that way, you know, what advice would you give them?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's kind of an eye opener, but it's still hard. It's still hard to make the decision. And, you know, so many things are involved in it, our ego, our pride, you know, things like that, that,
Well,
or what, fear of being alone, you know, all those things jump in and get us.
So as long as it's not a bunch of words, though, I think that a lot of times people who are trying to figure it out, they don't necessarily become, they don't know what they're looking for. And then it becomes your job to try to help people get away from the suffering, because that's really when they come to you, they are. Most people are suffering. They want
right.
to be strengthened somehow. They want to be inspired somehow. They want to achieve clear things. And with intimacy, it's very clear. We don't want to be alone. We want to have that, mm-hmm. whatever it is that nurtures us, because it's all nurture, nature and nurture, yeah?
Right. Right. Yeah, you're right. When people come to me, they're usually in some kind of pain. And
yeah.
so spirit helps them see either somebody's directly causing them pain, or the way they're reacting to something is causing
yep.
themselves pain. So,
yep. Mary O'Malley at psychicscout.com. Get yourself checked out. Go to psychicscout.com and spend some time with Mary O'Malley. I'll tell you, it's very much worthwhile. If you are waiting to find out how the astrology of the day may affect you, you need wait no longer. Your astrological light beacon is Maria Francesca Trilogy. You can find her at astrologerforyourlife.com, or actually the email address is astrologerforyourlife@gmail.com. All right, Astrologer for Your Life. If anything that goes on in our conversation piques your interest, I think everybody, I've had Maria busy doing all kinds of charts lately for friends of mine, people that I know from business and that sort of thing, because when I talk to them, oftentimes somebody will say to me, Maria, I got this problem. I don't know how to deal with it, or this guy. So I always tell them that for me, astrology has been a great guide in how to handle relationships and how to handle understanding people. It doesn't make you decide, although sometimes I think there are, my own personal life, probably signs I should stay away from. Whether your heart
yes.
leads you in one direction and then, you know, you go in another direction. But
yes.
the practical side isn't necessarily to keep you from doing something, but to learn how to deal with the foibles, the quirks of people who had certain astrological signs. So I've done that with a number of people, found out a lot. And so I give you that piece of advice. If you want to do it for yourself or for somebody that you know as a help, you can contact Maria at astrologerforyourlife@gmail.com. So, the question, I always want Maria to focus on one thing where astrology helps. Then in the world of politicians, people have been trying to do charts on Trump and then others. And how is it any different here? If you have the astrological connection or the astrological knowledge of Donald Trump, and you see what he's all about, and maybe, I don't know whether you were able to get a hold of the info on the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un or not, but is there some connection there that's interesting between the two of their charts?
Well, it's interesting that the summit took place. Now, I have no idea. You know, we don't know if astrology fits in, or if any kind of politician or people that gather summits together look at astrology. It was very interesting to me, though, that the day of the summit, the moon sign was in Gemini. And Gemini is Donald Trump's sign. He is a Gemini. So the fact that the moon sign was there made it a very comfortable day for him as far as his ability to feel strong and secure and definitely communicative.
What are the traits of the Gemini when it's a sun sign?
When it's their sun sign, they're great communicators. Okay. And they're really good at not short and sweet communication. What I mean by that is if it's something to do with right now for the moment, they are good at making other people understand them. Now, mm-hmm. I'm not wanting to go into the politics of someone or, you know, what kind of decisions they're making, but they're very good at talking. They're talkers, they're communicators. Mm-hmm. That's their gift. And in looking at this other young man, this leader of North Korea, very much a traditionalist. His sign is Capricorn. And so they are more rule followers, if you were going to use that as a way to understand who he is. So they are going Capricorns right now at this time in our evolution, we'll say, if you were to look at where planets are situated right now, Capricorns are going through tremendous change. Okay. So hopefully maybe that change is going to turn around this traditionalist way of doing things to look at the future in a new way and in a better way. I mean, that's the most we can hope for.
Well, I guess understanding whether you can trust another person, that's part of looking at the astrology, predictability, as a matter of speaking. The two of them did seem to get along. And so that's, you know, I guess at one meeting, that's what the best thing you can hope for is that they become trusting of one another, which is hard to do in the political realities of the world. All right, there's an opening information from Maria Trilogy about the two leaders and their get-together. Check out Maria Astrology, Astrologer for Your Life at gmail.com.
This program was edited by Bob K. Sound and Recording. Visit bobksound.com.
Hi, it's Jen from the DJV Show. Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 855-432-4886 now. That's 855-432-4886 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, a newspaper article, a legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can make your online search results look their best. Call 855-432-4886 to learn more or visit ReputationDefender.com/Doug.